Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, our help in ages past, we praise you and glorify you. We magnify your name for all that you are and for all that you have done. We praise you for your love and your mercy to us, creatures you made who turned against you, turned our backs on you, but you loved us still, and sent your Son to die in our place, to take the punishment for all of our sins, and then to rise again from the dead as the first fruits, that we might follow him in due course, to be raised ourselves, to be with him in our eternal bodies forever and ever, rejoicing around your throne in your glorious new heaven and earth that's coming. Father, we praise you because you are eternal. You have always existed. This alone boggles our minds to even ponder, but we know it is true. We praise you that you are all-powerful, that you are present everywhere, that you know everything, and that even with all of those things and knowing how bad we have been, how wrong we have been in our lives before, and how we have stumbled after being saved, you love us still, and you did what was necessary in order to bring us back to yourself. We praise you that we are your people. We rejoice in the honor and the privilege of that, and we desire to walk as you command us, to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. And we thank you that in being here today, in obedience to you and your call, we can fellowship together, we can encourage one another, build each other up in Christ, worship you together, hear your name proclaimed today in this great time together. We thank you for all of this and pray that as we continue in this hour, you will be pleased and honored and glorified by our worship, by our thoughts, by our focus on your word. Glorify your name, we pray, in this place, in this hour. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to hymn number 511.
We certainly have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We can rejoice in the Lord and all of his goodness to us, and we appreciate all the blessings of God that he gives us. Well, we're having a special luncheon after service this morning. Our brother Troy Powley is going to be moving back to Wyoming, and we want to give him a good send-off. We appreciate all of his faithfulness here at the church, and keep him in your prayers in the days that lie ahead. We are not going to have an evening service tonight. We're going to do something downstairs when we have this luncheon. I have a brief message, and so we'll dispense with tonight. Since you're here, we'll just meet together that way and not have to come back. I know some of the ladies have been doing a lot of work and they're tired and so forth, so we'll just finish up when we go downstairs. That way I have a captive audience. You don't have to wait for you to come back. Okay. Anyway, you know what I mean. There's a note here about the Genesis Sanctity of Life concert on April 23rd, Friday, April 23rd at the Berean Bible Church in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. So if you can go, I'm sure they would welcome you there. And next Sunday, we'll be having our missionary offering, and so keep that in mind. The May 2nd, we're getting into May already, we're going to start off this baby bottle blast. We're going to get baby bottles and fill them up with change or with whatever you would like to put in there for Genesis Women's Clinic. And I'm not sure yet, but perhaps the director will be here to give a few words about that. It'll be on May 2nd. We'll also be having communion that Sunday. And then right after that, we're going to be having our congregational meeting on the 4th of May. That's kind of snuck up on us a little bit. But anyhow, we need to get ready for that. So if you have anything you'd like to discuss, let us know ahead of time, and we will put that on the agenda. Okay. I have a letter here from the Murphys out in Arizona, working with the Indians, the American Indians, that is. Thank you for your part of our ministry labors. Some of our outreaches in the Apache communities are beginning to open up slowly. The tribal administration has given us the green light for home visits if we are invited, wear a mask, and maintain social distancing. Bringing guests or groups appears to still be frowned upon. The tribal jail ministry has resumed again 4 days a week. Please keep Phil, Nathan, and me in prayer as we invest in the inmates' lives with biblical teaching. It's a blessing to preach to the men in the pod again after so long. Earlier this spring, Laguna Pueblo pastor Byron Saraceno and I partnered together to reach 14 communities along Interstate 40 in New Mexico with mailings sent out from the local post offices to 9,400 homes. All of the Pueblo communities continue to be closed to in-person ministry from outsiders due to the COVID. We are grateful for these unique tools of ministry that are getting through the barriers with a presentation of the gospel. Pastor Sarah Sino is well respected in these communities, having pastored there for over 25 years. He's available to follow up on those requests at the local church, as the local church pastor, with access as a tribal member. His life story is a blessing and can be viewed at todaysnative.org. That's on the Facebook. I see it every once in a while. He has some good information there. The COVID pandemic continues to impact our lives in many ways. We have grieved the loss of so many, and we have now lost yet another great warrior for the Lord. Pastor Jasper Jones has been a beloved co-laborer in ministry, including Bible studies around the campfire, conversations about culture and Christianity, and backyard Bible clubs for children in his neighborhood. Jasper and I used to fly up to White River each week for tribal jail services and also to tape a radio broadcast for the local tribal radio station. We would prayerfully choose a passage of scripture to focus on. After I shared the meaning and application in English, he would then teach the word in the Apache language. We had many listeners communicate what a blessing the program was, especially to be able to understand God's word in their heart language. I will always cherish that season of ministry with him. We believe God uses these kinds of partnerships for his glory. Grieving hearts need to hear that there is a hope on the horizon, both for this life and eternity. The ranks have seemingly thinned out in recent months, but we trust that God will continue to raise up native voices to preach the riches of his grace. So that's from Scott and Kathy Murphy. Keep them in your prayers, if you would, as they serve the Lord out there in Arizona. Okay. We want to pray for some who are ill. Pray that they will be able to get back with us again. We pray for, want to pray especially for Bob Kirkner, who's going to be moving to the what was the name of that? Columbia, right? Columbia Cottage in Collegeville. He's going to be there in assisted living. So pray for Bob and for his family and for others that are going through difficult times still with this virus and various other things. So let's remember to keep them in our prayers. Okay. The offering plates are on the back table as always, so if you'd like to use that. And I believe that's all the announcements. Let's read our scripture from Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. We just started last week with the book of Acts. We're going to be using it for some time. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Keldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was a surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray this morning that your holy will be done in this service and in all that we do and say, that we'll be pleasing in your sight, and that you might speak to each one of our hearts and draw us closer to you, and we might love you and serve you in a better way. We do pray, our Father, this morning for those who are in need. We pray that you'll undertake for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. We pray that you'll strengthen each one. We pray, our Father, too, for those who are ill, that you might touch and heal them. We pray for those who are still staying at home, that they might soon be able to come back to church, that you'll give them the strength and the energy to come and to fellowship with us. We do want to pray especially for Bob Kirchner today, as he will be moving to this place in Collegeville. And we pray, dear Father, that your holy will be done with him, give him the courage and strength that he needs, and undertake for them. We pray for the missionaries, our Father. We thank you for the work that they are doing in various places. We pray especially for the Murphys out in Arizona as they work with the Apache and with other Indian groups. We thank you that they have been able to extend themselves into other places as well and give out the gospel throughout this whole period of time. And we pray your richest blessings upon them. We just ask you to be with those who have suffered from the virus, and especially for this one who has gone to be with you. We pray that you'll be with his family and meet their needs as well. Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us in everything that we do, that your holy will might be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts is actually a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. He said at the very beginning that this is the second treatise that he had sent. And So it's a continuation. And it shows how the message of the kingdom that promised to the Jews developed into the formation of the church. Jesus came as the king, remember? But he was rejected. It says in John 1, 11 and 12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, the Jewish people. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We noticed last week in that the disciples had asked him a question here in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they're still thinking about the kingdom. And they fully expected the kingdom to be established soon. Jesus has come forth from the grave, and now he's the king of Israel, and they are looking forward to setting up the kingdom. Jesus had promised them that they would rule with him over Israel. Let's look back for a moment in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. 19:27. Let's see here. Do I mark it? Oh, I got so many marks. Matthew 19, verse 27. Is that right? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. 19. I'll get it in a minute. 19:27. Here we go. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses of brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now the other one is in Luke 22, I believe it is. Luke 22:28. It says something similar but a little different. Luke 22:28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So again, we find the expectation of the kingdom. Now the problem we find here, these people have gathered together in prayer, and it says there's 120 of the people that are gathered there in prayer waiting for the coming of God's promise, which was the coming of the Holy Spirit, as we know. And there's 120 people there, but there are only 11 apostles. And Jesus had said that there's going to be 12. So we have a problem. What are we going to do? You remember, Judas, of course, was the 12th apostle that Jesus chose. And now he is dead. He betrayed the Lord, and he has died. So they only have 11 apostles. Now, what are they going to do? They need to replace this one apostle. And I know that this can be controversial because there's also the Apostle Paul to think about, right? But here, these are the ones that had to do especially with Israel. And Jesus had promised these men, that they would rule and reign with him in the period when he's the king of Israel. So they need to replace him. Now, I've got this little statement here from Warren Wiersbe, who expresses it quite well, I think. He asked the question, were they correct in selecting this new apostle? Some people may think no, but were they correct? He says, yes, they were. There had to be 12 men to sit on the 12 promised thrones should Israel repent and receive the kingdom. Their decision was based on the word of God. We see here he quotes the scripture. If you read in verse 20, he says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and take, and his bishopric, or his overseership, let another take." So they needed to replace Judas with someone else who would be worthy of that position. And they chose these two men that could be possible candidates for the office. And but anyway, Matthias is going to be the one chosen to take Judas's place. And was he a bona fide apostle? Well, it would certainly seem so, because it says here in the last verse, Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles and became one of the workers. They paired up in twos, and they would go out and do the ministry that God had given them to do. And Matthias was numbered with them in doing this work. Now, they had to be, there were certain qualifications that had to be made to be an apostle. And this is in verse 21 and verse 22. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, you know, remember, Jesus had told the Jewish people that they had wanted a sign. And he said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. As he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then he would come forth. So the resurrection was a sign to Israel to begin with, to show that he was indeed the Messiah, and whether or not they would receive him as such. The problem is, of course, that the nation did not receive him even after he arose from the dead. In fact, they persecuted the disciples and turned away from them. So this is the point here, the 12th apostle. Who is the 12th apostle? And it seems like from this passage that it's Matthias. Now we know that Paul comes along after. Jesus chooses him as an apostle, and he no doubt is an apostle. But I think he's a special one, because he was sent primarily to who? To the nations, to the Gentiles, right? And we have the 12 original apostles, and then we have the Apostle Paul, who has a special place. He said, well, when these 12 men are ruling over the nations of Israel, what's Paul going to be doing? Well, I think he'll have a very special place of, you know, I don't know what it's going to be, but he certainly is going to have a special place in the kingdom of God. Now, looking back at this again, that's an introduction. I just wanted to get that across. We find here Judas Iscariot was the 12th apostle that Jesus had chosen, and we've We've seen his life before, but I just want to review it a little bit. He's always listed as the last of the apostles, right? There's nothing good said about Judas. At least I'm not aware of it. He's always pictured as a scoundrel. And he's the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus. And Luke calls him in one place a traitor. John points out that he was a thief. He was the treasurer of the group, and he put his hand into it and took out whatever he desired. So he was a thief. Jesus spoke of him as a devil. He said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Or, you know, not a very good character, in other words, right? A devil. So we find that Satan actually enters into Judas at one point, right before he betrays the Lord. This is back in John chapter 13. John 13, and down in verse 27. It says, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." So here we have the devil, a very active in the life of Judas. It says over in verse 2 of this same chapter, "Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." See? So Satan is very active in this, and yet Jesus knew all about it. You know, we wonder about that. Is Judas, could he have not betrayed the Lord? What do you think? Jesus seemed to give him an opportunity to change his mind, didn't he? He says, "One of you is going to betray me." And then he goes on to talk about that, and he says it would be better that if that person had never been born, if they would betray the Son of Man. But anyway, Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. That's over in John chapter 17. The son of perdition, of destruction. His chapter 17, verse 12. Jesus said, "While I was with them in the world, the disciples, I kept them in thy name." He's praying to the Father. And he says, "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but or except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." You see, this is spoken of over in the Old Testament, that one of the disciples would betray him. And he says this, the scripture had to be fulfilled. So that's something that was bound to happen. And yet, Judas still had the free will to do it or not do it. Now, you explain that one to me. That's a good one, right? And yet, that's the way it's presented. And I believe that that's the way it was. His name, Judas, is the Greek form of Judah, which means praise of God. Boy, you're talking about someone not living up to their name. He certainly didn't bring praise to God in that sense, at least perhaps he did bring praise to God. He carried out his place, but what a character. Unlike all the other disciples who were Galileans, Judas was from Judea. His surname, Iscariot, means a man of Kirioth, which is a town in southern Judea, near the town of Tekoa, where the prophet Amos came from. His father's name was Simon. So this is a little background on this man that Jesus chose. You might wonder, well, why did Jesus choose such a character? And yet he had his place in the plan of God, and it all worked out. But why did Judas betray Jesus? According to this New Testament survey of R.G. Gromacki, it is, Judas probably was frustrated because the Romans were not overthrown, and he went and bargained with the priests to deliver Christ into their hands for 30 pieces of silver. Now, you know, there were certain zealots among the Israelis who wanted to overthrow the government, the Roman government that was oppressing them, and it's thought that perhaps Judas was one of them. We don't know for sure, but this could be a possible thing. When he joined with Jesus, he was under the impression that they were going to overthrow the government and set up the kingdom. All of the disciples were looking forward to the kingdom. That's very clear, isn't it? As we read in the through the Gospels and through the New Testament, that this was initially the way it was. They thought that he was the king and he was going to set up a kingdom. But we find that God's plan was different than that. Now, he is the king, and he will set up the kingdom. It just was not the time for it yet, right? So, I hope that's clear. Anyway, we find here that he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He had expected the Messiah to be a conquering hero who would destroy the enemy and free the Jews from oppression. Apparently, he did not believe in Jesus as the Savior, nor appreciate his spiritual ministry and what he was doing. He was looking forward to the kingdom here on earth. We find in Matthew chapter 26, Judas went to the priests and made a deal with them. Matthew 26 and verse 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said to them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So Judas made this deal. Apparently he resented Jesus for not doing as he wanted him to do. And also there's the occasion we saw not too long ago where Mary of Bethany came and anointed Jesus with the perfume. And Judas was the main one who objected to that. It says in John chapter 12 again, we see this incident. John chapter 12 and verse 3. 12. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." So right after this, Judas goes and makes the deal with the chief priest. So it seems that he may have been angry because Jesus rebuked him for this. He was greedy and willing to do anything to gain more money. He saw it. Stole from the treasury, and now he's making a deal to sell the Savior. So after Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember we saw how that Judas has come and with the soldiers to seize him, to turn him over. But I don't know what was going through his mind. You know, you have to wonder, what was Judas thinking? What were they going to do with Jesus? Because when he found out that he was condemned and was going to die, he repented to a certain extent, or at least there was remorse, and went and threw the silver coins back to the chief priests and went out and committed suicide. He went out and hung himself, it says. And that's a ghastly scene here. We find that apparently he must have fallen. I don't know if a rope broke, the tree fell or something, and he fell down on the rocks and, well, it's pretty ghastly, isn't it? His bowels gushed out. Can you see that? Maybe you don't want to see that. But anyway, we find here that he was remorseful, but he did not repent unto salvation. Because it says that Judas went to his own place. He didn't go to heaven. He went to hell. So, but Jesus said that he was chosen in order to fulfill the scripture. You know, and that's something to think about. In all of these instances, the scripture is always true, isn't it? You know, and these prophecies that were made hundreds of years before come to pass. You might wonder, how is it going to happen? Well, God knows what he's doing. And whatever he says is always true. So the scripture had to be fulfilled. Jesus knew from the beginning who he was and what he was going to do. And he tells him, go out and do it. Do it quickly. Judas went of his own volition, however, and fulfilled these things. So it's kind of a strange situation. And yet, God works it all out. Now, his replacement. We see here, as we noticed a few moments ago, verse 21, that there were certain qualifications. It says in verse 20 that this is what it says in the Psalms. He's going to lose his habitation, he's going to lose his overseership, and someone else has to take his place. And so there's certain qualifications these people had to have. And the first one was that he had to be a follower of Jesus from his baptism till his ascension. In verse 21, he says, choose somebody of these men, these two men that they had set aside, who have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up and ascended back to heaven. It must be someone must be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. And you notice that's the message of the early apostles. All the way from the beginning is the resurrection. Jesus Christ died, yes, but he arose again victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And it knows here, it's not just the 12 apostles that followed Jesus around. It was other people too. Matthias and Joseph were two of those that were always in the company. And there were others, of course, as well. But anyway, this is one of the qualifications they had to have. And they chose these two candidates. One is Joseph Barsabbas Justus. And his name, Barsabbas, was the name that was given to him by others. It means son of the Sabbath. So that was one name. And the Justice, which is his last name, means the righteous one. So he must have been someone who people have respected and looked up to and was chosen as a possible candidate. The other one is Matthias, whose name means the gift of God. And some people think that he was one of the 70 that was sent out back in Luke chapter 10. Jesus sent out 70 disciples to propagate the gospel at that time. And so we don't know for sure. But at any rate, this is one who took his place. He was chosen. They chose him by lot. This was I was reading about this. It said this is the last time the Bible says anything about choosing by lot, because the Holy Spirit came and he is the one who was directing from here on out. But this is a method that they used. They put either the rocks or something in there with their names on it or whatever and chose one out. This was a method that they used from ancient days, and they cast the lots, and Matthias was chosen. And apparently, God accepted this because Matthias was right there with the others when the Holy Spirit came. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and went forth to serve God. And, I mean, it's true. Some people say, well, he's never mentioned again. But none of the others are either, except for Peter and Paul, Peter and John, and then Paul later. So none of the other disciples are mentioned again, but they were busy doing God's will. And so Matthias became an active member and served faithfully in preaching the Word of God and helping to establish the church as it began there on the day of Pentecost. And we'll see about that next time, because we know the kingdom is coming, but it is delayed. And during this age, we are in the age of the church, aren't we? The Holy Spirit has come and is bound us together in the body of Christ so that we might be able to serve him. And that's our main work to do in this age, is to get out and serve him and explain that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he's the one who came forth from the grave victoriously. He lives forevermore, and we are his servants. Lord, we pray this morning that you'll help us to understand your word. I know this message may be a little different, but we just pray that we might understand what you're saying to us and be able to do your will during this time that we have here on earth. We thank you for the early apostles, our Father, and the foundation that they made for the church. We think also later of the Apostle Paul, who spread the gospel so widely. And we just thank you and praise you for these men who were faithful. And we pray that you'd make us faithful as well in everything that we do and say, that we might be your servants during this age in which we live. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in his name. Amen.